Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. We're going to have
John Murphy.
John Murphy joining us. Who's he work for?
Yahoo Sports SI, NFL Draft Bowl, and multiple-time Grey Cup winner. CFL. He did personnel stuff in the CFL.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he's connected to a lot of agents. He's got a lot of good information. He's living here in Houston.
Oh, nice. John Murphy, local guy.
Yeah.
We got a local.
Well, he is now.
Well, no,
he was in New Orleans previously. And
so is he giving us a hometown flood discount?
discount for what?
Well, I mean, for his pay, for being on the show.
There's pay?
I want him to give us a hometown discount.
Mike DeCourcy said, I'd like a little something in my Venmo. I'll give you my Cash App.
Hometown discount, Mike.
All right, you keep talking while I give him the phone number.
Okay. We're going to talk a little draft stuff here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There are three big stories. Well, one of them, it really is Deshaun Watson. And it is coming up in just a couple of days. Deshaun Watson is going to plead the fifth for every question, I would imagine. We had, and I'm going to get Terry Yates on here. He's a criminal lawyer. We had a civil lawyer on a couple of weeks ago, and unfortunately, he said you can't, but you can. He will plead the fifth. Rusty Hardin, while the grand jury investigation is going on, which will be going on simultaneously, as a matter of fact, he says that Deshaun will not answer any questions. Here's the thing, though. Deshaun can't incriminate himself criminally anyway. If there's anything that Deshaun will say in this, if he incriminates himself in any way, shape, or form, that can reopen the criminal trial. So Deshaun isn't going to say anything in these civil depositions anyway. So they can always be used in a criminal trial. So no lawyer is going to let his client incriminate himself. So if in fact they can prove, and listen, that hurts Deshaun, there's no question about it. If he's not going to answer some of these questions because he doesn't want to incriminate himself, hey, that'll be used in a civil trial as well. All it's going to do is cost him more money when it comes down to either settling or a judgment by the judge. So we'll find out. It's a big deal what's going on here with Deshaun, because it means after you saw what the haul was for Russell Wilson, it means that the Texans could actually gain a whole bunch because Deshaun Watson is better than Russell Wilson and should, in my opinion. When I saw the haul for Russell Wilson, I was like, holy crap. If that's what Russell Wilson is getting, what is Deshaun Watson going to get? It should be more, in my opinion. Now, of course, there are the other situations with the PR, with Deshaun flaking out, like Lance said earlier. I mean, that is going to be taken into consideration.
He's got to do his part. He's got to do his part to clean this mess up. And there's no way his side.
But here's the deal, too, is that teams are so desperate for a good quarterback that you overpay. There's no question.
You know, my kid said. My kids are talking about this. They were listening to us on the radio. Snack said this. My daughter was saying this last night, having a conversation.
What a nice guy Mr. John is.
No, they definitely didn't say that. They said, so the one guy gets banned for the year because of gambling, but the people who are violent to women get 2 games, 4 games, 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hit women and you can treat women bad. My daughter said that. You can treat women as bad as you want to, but you can still play. And I said, yeah, you know. And then, you know, I brought up the fact that it is, we live in a pretty, it's a pretty bad time that Art Briles is done for life. Like, he's been canceled completely, can't work. And my wife said he should be. I said, that's fine. Yes. I don't have a problem with making that decision. I really don't. The inconsistencies across the board, yeah, from a player to a coach or whatever. 2 games for knocking a girl out. Oh, wait, the video came out. Let's make it 6. Let's basically end his career. Because Ray Rice never played again after that video came out. So, in essence, his career was over. I know people said the NFL owners did not ever pick him up again.
Yeah.
His career was over once the video came out. Right. Now, the Cowboys thought Greg Hardy did not do enough damage and that it was important that he had an opportunity to come into the league and potentially, you know, do some more damage, I guess,
right,
to other people. So now he's in the UFC getting his ass kicked. So the inconsistencies are something I had to have a conversation with my 11-year-old daughter about, yeah, like, they both can be really bad. They both can be. I said, the punishment, I get that it's not a violent crime, and I get that people are like, Leo just stole $500, just barely did a parlay. He shouldn't. But it's, you can't mess with the integrity, right, of the game. And the NFL tells you this is what your punishment is going to be. So it's okay to hold people. I don't know why no one wants anyone held accountable anymore for anything. Just let it go completely and just have a complete anarchy.
Oh, either that or cancel them totally.
How about either complete or none.
None.
Guess what? It's okay for him to be suspended a year. It's okay for a player to be suspended a year too for violence against women.
Right.
There's other circumstances too. We'll get into that. Joining us right now is John Murphy. He has been a draft analyst for Sports Illustrated, Yahoo, NFL Draft Bible. He has been an executive in the CFL. Won multiple Grey Cups. He is living here in Houston now, and he joins us. He's been a guy who's been tied in as an insider in football for years, and so wanted to get him on to talk about some different things. John, first of all, welcome in, and welcome to Houston.
Well, awesome. I heard you guys talking about a hometown discount. If the $200 million that Aaron got yesterday is the hometown discount that you're getting these days, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, John, since you study team needs and whatnot, and you know what each team needs out there. Does Russell Wilson put the Denver Broncos over the top to be a possible championship team?
I think we still have to see, you know, are we judging what we think Nathaniel Hackett will be as a head coach based off of the factor that, hey, it seems like if you hire the next great young offensive mind, it seems to work well. Let's see what happens first with their coaching staff. Let's see what happens with the game planning around Russell Wilson. And then let's also make sure that the injuries that Russell Wilson had last year and some of the ineffectiveness with him deciding, you know, that I want to be the guy now, right? I've kind of had those seasons where I let the run game and the defense and everything else be the reasons the Seahawks, you know, were sort of, you know, always kind of, it's Russell's team, but, you know, it's a great defense, the run game. All of a sudden, he had those weapons. He wanted to make the most of them. The Broncos did keep some of their weapons, and they have, you know, a well-coordinated run game and a good offensive line. Let's see what they look like after free agency before we kind of say over the top, because look at the division itself. You know, if all of a sudden there's a possibility that Derek Carr is the worst quarterback in your division, that's an awful good division to be playing in. And like I said, you saw at times last year, is that Russell Wilson just because there's injuries? Or there were half the football games where he disappeared? You know, they made a risky decision. But I think you've mentioned it over and over again. If you're a Texans fan, you got to be smiling when you see, you know, what they gave up, you know, to get him.
100%.
At 33 years old. you know, and knowing the consequences of if this doesn't work for at least a 2-3-4 year period of time, it's going to be judged a failure. And in all reality, if it doesn't work, what people are going to say is, you had to trade for capital after making all this moves for Jamal Adams, who's a safety, and you had to turn around and trade your franchise quarterback because that didn't put you over the top, and you decided to make a trade, you know, probably a year or so early. Because you see last night, when they turn around and release Bobby Wagner right on top of it, Pete Carroll can say, I'm 70-plus years old, I'm not here for a rebuild. You don't trade Russell Wilson and release Bobby Wagner on the same day and tell me you're competing for a Super Bowl this year.
No.
Yeah, and it's a – no, you've got to – I mean, look, Seattle has been going through this for a while. They had a pretty good run. They were slowly dismantled their defense, well, especially their secondary, Legion of Boom, couldn't afford it. And now basically John Schneider – and it wouldn't – by the way, wouldn't be surprised if John Schneider somewhere else in a year or so – I think that whole thing is getting ready to completely implode. This is the beginning this isn't the beginning of the end. This is the end of the trading Russell Wilson is officially the end of Seattle, and they now have to hit what all teams have to hit. At some point, you go into the uncertainty at quarterback, and so they're hoping that Drew Lock can do a little something. But what about number nine?
I mean, you look at the rest of.
Go ahead, John.
Clearly, after yesterday. With the contracts and the trade, and Russell will get more money here sooner than later, with the trade to Denver. Kyler Murray can't be arguing about, you know, things. You know, hit spell check on the next, you know, letter you send out. That's probably a good idea. But, you know, the money for quarterbacks just went up again. Like I said, Russell Wilson at some point will get new money. These other guys that are up and coming, you know, what's Justin Herbert, you know, going to think about that, you know, $50 million? He's certainly smiling today, you know, about that. So you have Arizona with, how will Arizona compete with their roster and their depth when they have to pay $30, $40 million for a quarterback? The Rams now have to try to keep their roster intact. But now you have the Niners who might be in the best scenario because at some point, they're going to have a quarterback on a rookie contract with the depth that they have on that roster and Kyle Shanahan. Seattle might have picked the right moment here to try to semi-hit a reset button and hope within the next two drafts they come out of it with a young quarterback. They had a good grade on Drew Lock, so they clearly think there's something there to work with temporarily. So I think Seattle, it's not the worst trade. You know, it's obviously a reverberation when you trade a franchise quarterback and a guy that made you be the success you've been, you know, the past 10 years. But Seattle might have taken the right approach here to make that trade a year too early when you still got a haul like they got, then a year too late, and then you end up just having them and, you know, you might get a draft pick or two, but you're not going to get what they got yesterday.
You know, John Murphy is our guest, and John, what about Malik Willis at number nine? I took a picture that really made the rounds, especially yesterday, where I just happened to be sitting up in the stands and noticed Monty Kiffin was up there introducing Matt Corral to Pete Carroll, and Lane Kiffin was up there too. So it was Monty Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, Pete Carroll, and then Matt Corral during quarterback workouts was up in the stands because he didn't work out. So he went up and met Pete Carroll, and so everyone started tying Matt Corral to Pete Carroll in Seattle. What about the idea of Seattle now, as you mentioned, taking at nine, taking quarterback like Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral at some point in the first round and saying, let's stick this guy with Drew Lock and let's see what we got. Let's have some competition.
I think that has to be a conversation piece, but I think that, you know, before knowing that you didn't have a first round pick, you would have had to try to do an analysis of this quarterback class and the next one, make a decision on where you think you could get up in this draft and who is it that you were really looking at. Now, Malik Willis makes a lot of sense because you can make a lot of bad comparables to say, hey, look, if you're playing that offensive style, You still have the run game that you could use with Willis. You know, look at what they're saying about this kid and his, you know, his off field, you know, in terms of high character. Love what you saw. You know, people loving the interviews. Now, clearly somebody who probably yesterday wasn't having a great day were the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? You've heard a lot of communication there, and a lot of people trying to connect Malik Willis to the Steelers. All of a sudden, if I'm Pittsburgh and I was hoping he was going to get in my range and maybe I don't have to give up a lot to, you know, to move up and get him, I might be a little more concerned with Seattle. But this also could turn out to be another win-win, right? In terms of Seattle can either use Drew Lock with somebody else who like Drew Lock and get another draft pick, or they could do what you're saying in terms of, hey, now I'm sending everybody in my front office, you know, to the Matt Corral workout. You know, I'm bringing Malik Willis in. I'm bringing Kenny Pickett in. I'm making everybody think that quarterback, you know, could be, you know, in there for number nine. But then I'm also looking at a better quarterback class a year from now when I don't have Russell Wilson. I don't have a perfect offensive line. There's some pieces there that need work, and, you know, and a defense that's played well, but, you know, doesn't have the playmakers they once had. They're clearly going to go in a different direction, you know, at Mike linebacker without Wagner. Is this a season where, hey, next year I'll have my one and this number one, at least mine is probably a top 10 or 15 pick, and maybe I can coordinate some of these assets, kind of like the Eagles. Let's see what we have at quarterback this year, just using kind of what we have. And then if nothing works, then we go all in on the quarterback a year from now with a little deeper class. But Malik Willis makes a lot of sense for them because coming off of Russell Wilson, and if you're playing that style and you think about rejuvenating your club the way you did, let's not forget, they fell in, Russell Wilson falls in their lap after they spent all that money on Matt Flynn. Once they got that off their docket, they really thrived with having the depth of organization that they had, where their 40th and 50th player on the active roster were guys that would have been competing on other teams. You saw when the Niners were terrible, they were signing guys off the practice roster. They were signing everybody that the Seahawks would cut in that time frame. So I think Malik Willis is actually one of the guys that really helped himself last week, not only with the vertical throwing at the end of the combine, which everybody liked, and I thought, you know, at least gave him the chance to separate himself from others with the physical, you know, tools and talent, but every interview you see with him, the way he's carrying himself, the opportunity to invest in a young kid like that and know you have a five-year contract, you know, and see how these other teams have built around guys. I'd be surprised if he lasts to the Steelers. I think if they want him, they're going to have to go get him. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Seattle sat there at nine, waited to see who kind of falls to them. They could end up, you know, in the lottery here in the sense of the best offensive tackle, or even a Kayvon Thibodeau who is struggling, you know, now off of the combine, not because of his workouts, but because this guy may not be understanding that your body language, the way that you interview, the things that you say, and the way you come across, you might want to refine some of that here. And I think he's got some work to do before he falls out of the top 10 completely.
John Murphy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before you go, Trayvon Walker, did you see him flying up the boards like Lance did this week?
Yeah, you know, and the thing is that you have teams now going back and going to the film, which is going to really play well for a guy like Walker, because what they're doing is you see what he was asked to do, and then you're saying, if I take that athletic talent and I free him up, well, now there's a possibility that this guy can, you know, go get you 8, 10, 12 sacks, you know, a year, and is going to provide a ton of pressure, you know, where you put in, and then you see the hustle. Right, you see the hustle plays, you see the effort plays, and then you look at another prospect in a similar way. Jermaine Johnson's at Georgia. He puts up pedestrian numbers. He leaves and goes to Florida State, gets freed up. All of a sudden, here's all this production. He didn't become a better player. It's a different scheme. It's more freedom. And suddenly, here's all the stats that you're looking for. And I think, you know, when you look at it and say, hey, a lot of people were wondering, you know, if they had juiced the track, you know, in Indianapolis, you know, there's more 4.4s than ever seen before. One or two of the guys that you got to look at and wonder what would be the commentary is, what would people be saying if the presumed number one overall pick in Aiden Hutchinson had run 4.8 with a 9.9 broad jump? Now, clearly, the film and the production are high top 10 caliber. But if you look at the speeds that some of these guys came across with and then realize that Jordan Davis ran faster than Aiden Hutchinson at 60, 70 pounds different. Now, what if Kyle Hamilton, 4.59 on a super fast surface? It could really have been a 4.65, 4.68.
Yeah. And John,
kind of time.
That's what's
going on. It starts making me wonder, you know, the teams that put the metrics in, right? The teams that are heavy on the production value of can you athletically produce the same way at the NFL level? You're going to have some work to do when you look at those guys, but you're going to have to trust. If all of a sudden you're talking at 3, the Jets are Giants. If you're talking about taking Trayvon Walker, then you better be situationally saying, I plan to use him in this sort of capacity to make the most out of that. Because if not, you see what happens when the Bears, right, may draft, you know, Leonard Floyd, and they don't get anything out of him, and then the Rams turn him into a superstar.
Yep. John Murphy.
Right, so you better be drafting him scheme-specific to fit what you saw on the field, because then, it, you know, it'll be shocking to see a guy like Walker, to most fans, go over Aiden Hutchinson or get drafted above a guy like Kayvon Thibodeau. And then George Kafalas does not run, which might have been, in hindsight, you might have wanted to take two shots, you know, at the 40 and say, hey, my first 10 is terrible. But on a fast surface, at least I could have kind of set it in motion for the clubs to be prepared that I run 4.8, but I'm super productive on film. I play faster than that. And then, hey, don't worry, because I have a 35 vert and a 10.3 broad jump. Hey, I'm more than athletic. I have a terrible start. But just don't worry about it, because that's not who I am as a football player. I might have wondered if he made the right or wrong decision there in terms of overthinking it.
Yeah.
And then clearly another guy whose pro day in April is going to be huge is Derek Stingley. Because you have a Lisfranc injury, which everybody gets nervous when you hear about that. And now you've seen a preponderance of DBs with a similar size, with cleaner film the last year and a half, all turning in sub 4.4 times. He's going to need a big pro day to probably flip himself back into the early, the meat and potatoes of the top 10.
Yeah, John Murphy has been our guest. He's been an NFL draft analyst from SI and NFL Draft Bible and Yahoo, and we definitely appreciate you joining us today. We're going to jump into some more of the draft stuff down the road. So I'll try to give you a shout down the road, but we got a lot of NFL to get to today. Thanks, John, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
That's John Murphy. And, you know, this really has been a situation where yesterday you took out. So best case scenario was Aaron Rodgers stayed with Green Bay. You don't want him going to another team that was quarterback hungry. Russell Wilson went to one of the spots that Deshaun wanted to go play at, which was Denver, so it is what it is. But now the two big dogs are settled. So next up is Deshaun Watson. And when you saw two first, 2 seconds, and three starters get traded from Denver to Seattle, you now start to say, well, what will Deshaun Watson, who's a younger player,
I thought immediately. I was thrilled with the package that Russell Wilson got. Thrilled.
Oh,
I was like, holy crap. Because I truly believe that Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson is right now. I mean, right. Russell Wilson has been better in his career. Russell Wilson has won at the highest level. Russell Wilson I don't think Russell Wilson. I was listening to Mark Schlereth. Mark Schlereth, about a month ago, was on with the guys before us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and he said, I don't believe Aaron Rodgers puts Denver over the top. Schlereth is in Denver. He says, I don't think that they're a championship team just because they acquire Aaron Rodgers. Well, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't make them a championship team, now that's in Mark Schlereth's eyes, but if Aaron Rodgers doesn't put him over the top, Russell Wilson certainly doesn't. And they gave up a couple of guys, too, Shelby Harris and Noah Fant, that could have contributed to a possible championship in Denver. That's a good football team, really good football team. But look at that division. Holy crap. I mean, look at the quarterbacks in that division. There's, without a doubt, the best division in football with as far as quarterback play goes. I don't know if it's the best division in football overall with the NFC West, but they're fighting it out, that's for sure, not with Russell Wilson there. All right. When we come back, we've got all kinds of stuff that we still haven't got to here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's no jab at us, Lance, but no, it is a jab.
It is. There's jabs to throw today, but we're not throwing them at us. What we are doing is throwing them at those of you who have. I saw a buddy of mine who has a website. I didn't know he had a website. I looked at it yesterday. Not a fan. I'll be honest. He's going to get a text from me. And what I'm going to say is, hey, I checked out your website. You guys should call SiteJab, because what SiteJab can do is they can really shine a better light on your company. The business that you have is going to be in competition with other businesses in your space, right? You know that for a fact. So when people go to find out more about you, now more than ever before, they're just going on their phone and they're going to go to the website. Is your website optimized for mobile? If not, then it's going to look janky on mobile, and most people are checking your website out on mobile. They're not doing it at desktop. So that's a small thing that needs to be taken care of. Is your website optimized so that people can get to the information they need as quickly as possible? Do you just have this splash page with a long, drawn-out amount of information on one single page where they have to do multiple, long-form scrolling? That's not something that is considered advantageous for keeping people's eyes on your site. If you're looking to take eyes and translate that into business, you need to have your analytics hemmed up tight, and you need to have a website that's built and designed to be efficient and to be productive, and that's what SiteJab does. There's so much that you've never even thought about that they've already got down to, down to perfection when it comes to building your site, and that's what they will bring to the table for your business. Stop having the short end of the straw when you've got a battle against other people in your space. Make sure that you go to the website, sitejab.com, set up a consultation. It's there in the right-hand corner. Just click the button, sitejab.com. That's sitejab.com. That's sitejab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, 827 on the ESPN 97.5 and 92 by John and Lance, along with Cameron, doing his best, working it hard today. Cameron's earning his pay. 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here. Dustin says this. Your daughter is right, Lance. We shouldn't even be talking about Watson playing. We should be too disgusted by two things. He put his hands on women, and he's a quitter. How the hell can anyone think a dude like that has any value to anyone? Yes, he put his hand. He put his thing on women more than his hands. I don't know.
He put his hands on them too. That's why he may catch charges. Not physically like beating.
No, right.
But he touched them inappropriately where they didn't want to be touched.
Yeah, that is true. And allegedly forced them to do things that they didn't want to do. Yeah. Allegedly. So we'll find out. All coming to a head.
So let me
but here's
you.
The deal. If he's exonerated, he settles, If he gets through this thing without criminal charges, there's no
question. If it happened to your daughter, how would you feel?
I would feel. I would. But
do you think it's worth 4 games or more?
Pardon me?
If he touched your daughter like that, which she didn't want, would you? How much is that worth? 4 games? Do you think?
No, not to me. It'd be obviously.
Yeah. What would it be worth to you?
It would be worth more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my point is that it's really easy for fans to just say, well.
But that's what fans are going to say.
Art Briles should be gone for life. Okay, that's cool. But Sean is like, he didn't let anyone rape anyone. He didn't punch anyone. Like, I mean.
Well, these women feel like they were violated.
Exactly. That's my point. Just for us to act like, you know, we've been so desensitized. Like,
there are two sides to every story. Let's let it play out, though.
No.
Let's let it play out.
That's true. That's 100% true. But if what they are saying is true.
Right.
You would, and they were your daughter, you would have a much, much different, you would, it just goes to show you that we give allowances to people we want to like, or we want to watch in sports. We give allowances. Art Briles, there is no allowance. Okay? He's done. Deshaun Watson, let's hear things out. Let's just see how things play out. Let's forgive and forget. I actually saw this yesterday. Somebody said, you know, it's time that we really work this thing out with Deshaun and get him back on the field. Four needs to get back on the field with the Texans. We need him back on the field. It's just, man, have my daughter, you know, when you deal with having to listen to somebody say, wait, why is it only worth this many games? If the NFL sees the gambling worth 1 year, what am I supposed to say? Well, baby, the gambling should not be a year. It should be more like what it is if somebody were to touch you inappropriately. That's like 4 full games. That's the, you know, if somebody were to inappropriately touch you and scar you and have you upset, that should be worth at least 4 games, baby.
Right.
So it's not, yeah, you're right. We've got to do something about this. We've got to start the hashtags and get something going and draw awareness to Calvin Ridley. Wait, what? No, that's not what I meant. Why don't we take care of the women? No, that's right. No, 2, 4, 6 games. That's right. It's the Ridley thing. That's the problem with this society.
Yeah.
Man, are we up?
Whoa.
I blocked it out. I beeped it out. I self-beeped it out.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, man, what are we doing when our complaints are about Calvin Ridley? Well, Calvin Ridley is something must be done. NFL continues.
I have not heard anyone say that.
Oh, I guess you weren't on Twitter yesterday.
All I've heard is he should get a game.
I guess you didn't watch. You haven't heard people say that Calvin Ridley is being overly punished?
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Oh, yeah. No. I know.
That's what I said.
But I haven't heard anybody going over the top going, Calvin Ridley's the problem with what we're having.
No. But Calvin Ridley's the problem because he has been too severely punished.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
Oh.
People are saying, this is the problem with the NFL. Look at what Calvin Ridley's got to deal with. 17 games? It should be more like when you inappropriately touch or punch a woman. That should be like, what? What we're worried about is how much Calvin Ridley's suspended and not relatively light sentences?
No.
I get juxtaposing
them. Doesn't everybody say, though, that it's too light? If you put hands on domestic violence,
yes.
That it's too light.
Okay, so where's the outrage?
Well, there is when it does happen. There is outrage.
So when guys come back and play, there's outrage? I don't see.
No, I see there's outrage for 6-game suspensions. Yes,
there is. Were Cowboy fans outraged about...
Well, Cowboy fans are idiots.
There's no actual outrage.
No.
There is no
Cowboy
actual...
fan is just jaded by it because they get every criminal that they can get.
Tell me... Will there be outrage when Deshaun Watson plays again?
Yes.
Will there?
There will be some.
By who?
There will be some.
Enough you know,
by the way, he is
playing?
Going to face the suspension. Okay. Don't be surprised if whatever team gets him isn't going to see.
There was enough outrage that Art Briles had to, after not having a job for 5 or 6 years, he got a job at Grambling as an assistant coach. There was enough outrage from Doug Williams.
Yeah.
That
well, and not only Doug, there was a lot of
and them. And others, right?
Right.
But Doug was a big one.
Yeah.
That he said, I got to resign. And I don't know if it was partly Hugh Jackson or if it was all him. I got to resign. Will people keep that same energy for others who are violent against women or bad people in general? Just really bad people. Why? I don't understand. I don't have a problem with the market, as it were, making determinations about Art Briles' future. if you think it's what he's done is too heinous, that's fine. But man, let's please have some consistency, and let's please protect some of the people that are being just, because you wouldn't be okay with this if these were just average guys that didn't play sports. You wouldn't be okay with it. You wouldn't be okay with it if it was your own daughter.
No.
You wouldn't be okay with it. I hope you wouldn't be okay with it.
No.
But you are okay with it if they are good at football or basketball or baseball. I mean, just the inconsistency, I really struggle because this whole world is full of inconsistencies, and I try to be consistent across the board. And when you live life like that and you try to be consistent and not be hypocritical about this side or the other, when you try to be consistent, number one, it makes it impossible to be – it makes it impossible to stand just sharply on one side or the other side politically, because you recognize – that no side is going to be perfect. There's different issues. You know, when you look at that from a sports standpoint, you see there's issues with players and owners here in baseball. You can't just be on one side when you recognize, no, there's actually two sides of issues, and there are viable sides from the owner's concerns. There's viable sides from the player's concerns. When you look at this inconsistency in sports in regards to how we deal with bad behavior, it's just maddening.
Yeah.
It's maddening that we are so... it's so transparently terrible with how we look at this. Guys who have been involved in killing, being drunk driving and killing people have gone back into the league fairly quickly. You know, and I think the league has done a much better job and is getting much better at being.
Do you think Henry Ruggs plays again?
No.
No.
I don't think he does. No, I don't think he does. Now, if it wasn't Henry Ruggs and it was of highly established...
Well, I think the world is changing as far as what you're saying is concerned. I think the world is changing. I think Deshaun Watson may be an example of how the world is changing.
I'm sorry. If I had to guess on this one, Deshaun Watson will not. There will not be an outrage that will keep him from going. If it gets leaked that he's going to Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or whatever, will the fans keep the same energy for Deshaun that they had for a coach who they don't care about in Mark Briles?
No.
No. And that's my whole thing is that it doesn't make a lot. Are they too
equal, though?
Well, Art did not take part in anything. He was part of a cover up. He did not take part in a rape. He was part of a cover up. Are they equal?
Yes, but as a mentor, as a coach, as the leader of the program,
no.
It may be even worse because there were multiple examples of what was going on.
And
Art Briles may be worse than what Deshaun Watson did.
I'm fine with what's happening there. If what Deshaun has done has been the case, and these are the only people who have come forward, that's pretty bad, too. That's pretty bad too. I'm saying you don't. I think the biggest mistake we make is we say Calvin Ridley gets 17 games for gambling, but that's great to point that out. But what you should be saying is, I know they should both be long term suspensions, right? Is that what you're saying? Well, no. Calvin should be shorter term. No, no, no. Calvin knows what the rule is. Calvin knows all players do, and they can't have people thinking their game is like boxing, where it's already predetermined, where you can't. You know, well, we just don't know what's. We're going into this event, and we know that something shady is probably going to happen. You know what killed boxing? People talk about, well, they didn't have as many, too many things were on pay-per-view. One of the biggest things that were killers was when Lennox Lewis was fighting Riddick Bowe, and the judging was just atrocious. When the judging could no longer be trusted in boxing, and it was always about Don King and Bob Arum.
Yeah, right.
And you never know where the judges come from. It ruined the sanctity of the sweet science because you knew that people were up figure skating. When you watch all this stuff, not that figure skating is a big event for us, but when you know that the judging at any given time that the Russians or the Eastern Bloc countries, and it's been proven.
Yeah.
You've seen it in, what was it, Bad Money or what was it called? Bad Sport. It was like literally we knew it wasn't on the up and up. So that's why football is so strict. That's why baseball. Shoeless Joe Jackson's never getting in. Pete Rose is never getting into the Hall of Fame. Ever. They're so strict because if people think that your sport is a work at any point, it loses all credibility.
Okay, we got to take a break. We're way behind. But, by the way, speaking of baseball, apparently the Fort Worth Star-Telegram has an op-ed piece that says the reason for the strike or for the lockout is the Houston Astros. You can blame the Houston Astros and Jim Crane.
What?
He wants baseball to restructure. This is on Jim Crane. Yep. This is on Jim Crane, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe dude has information we don't know. But this isn't Rob Manfred's fault. You know who did, you know who put this piece up? Rob Manfred's PR people. Congratulations. Rob Manfred, what a jerk. It's time for me to talk about great people. Chastain Ford people. My peeps over there. Listen, the Chastains are wonderful. And they've been wonderful in the city of Houston and dealing cars for 80-plus years, over 80 years. You don't do that unless you're really, really good. And you don't do it. And these times are so difficult. And you know what dealerships are doing? They're marking up from sticker price. I'm sorry, it's going to cost you $5,000 more or $10,000 more. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then you get this. You come to a price with the dealership, and they add $10,000 afterwards. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they say, oh, sorry, but that's the time. Sorry. And you know what never happens to Chastain Ford? That. You know what's happening to Chastain Ford? Zero down. You know, 0% financing for 60 months, no payments for 90 days. You know who else is doing that? Nobody. Because Chastain Ford is saying, why? No, we're going about it business as usual. You can now, the only difference is that you're going to have to wait on your vehicle, but you customize it exactly as you want. You're going to get exactly what you want in that Ford car or truck, and you're going to get it at the same great deal that you've always gotten it. They're not marking it up just because it's tougher business out there today. So go with my people. You're looking for that Ford car or truck or any used vehicle. They got them on the lot right now. Just get to ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
What's the oldest license?
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance and Cameron, along with you at 713-780-3776. There's a lot of stuff going on here. There's a lot of, you know, we're seeing some, well, we're seeing some outrage out of Dustin, who's a Cowboy fan, by the way. Okay? Now, I'm not calling into question your loyalties, Dustin, but there is no, he's claiming that there's rape charges against Deshaun, and there are no rape charges.
No, I'm looking at this, and I can't find it anywhere.
No, there are no rape charges against Deshaun. It's not rape. The grand jury is convened, and the complaints released to the public were heavily redacted, but listed acts ranging from Watson exposing himself, touching therapist's hands with his penis, and ejaculating on them. Three of the complaints allege sexual assault or attempted sexual assault, defined in Texas as non-consensual penetration. Prosecutors are expected to present at least some of these cases to the grand jury.
So attempted rape?
Attempted, yeah. No, attempted assault.
Sexual assault. Sexual penetration. Assault. Well, what is that?
Right. It's different than rape. It's different.
Because it was not completed?
I don't know what. Why. I'm not a lawyer. But I do play one on Law and Order.
Well, what I'm asking is...
Indecent assault is a Class A misdemeanor in Texas, punishable by up to 1 year in jail and a maximum fine of $4,000, while sexual assault is a second-degree felony.
Felony. That's the F word.
Yeah, it's the F word, and it's a bad word.
Yeah, I think that's they may not call it attempted rape, but isn't that attempted penetration? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Against someone's will, that's the actual definition of rape.
Mm-hmm.
Is rape just that it was that it happened, and one is that it tried to happen? That's I don't know. We may be, like I said, if you go through all of it, it kind of paints a little bleaker picture when you go through all of it. Right now, it's just, it's 22 cases. Well, he's going to settle 18, and then he had four. And then when you look at what he's accused of, it's like, that's tough, man.
It's funny. I'm looking at the New York Times article, and they got a quote from Rusty. The free agency time is Rusty, here goes to the free agency. Agency time is around the corner. We wanted this decision to be made by then, and it looks like they're going to, and I'm welcoming it. There's never been any crime here, no matter if you call it indecent assault or anything else. These are civil matters that belong in civil courts.
Well, that's the fight.
That's the fight.
That's the fight. Once you get it to civil, you can get punished for it, but you won't go to jail.
Well, and listen, just because there aren't any criminal charges coming doesn't mean that he didn't commit a crime. It means that it's going to be too difficult to prove that he committed a crime because it's he said, she said in a lot of these instances. And there are some inconsistencies. Just to be fair to Deshaun, there have been some inconsistencies that have been pointed out in the testimony of these women. There have been some inconsistencies.
Well, and so Bill says, Texan fan Bill says, he's talking to Dustin. He said, because he has technically been accused of civil and sexual assault by the accusers, it carries an entirely different legal definition than rape. And like I've said before, it's okay to accept he's a piece of turds, but for Texans fans to also talk about their team, which includes his trade value. No. 100%. Like, our business, it is necessary to talk about trade value and all this stuff. While you can also acknowledge this may not be a very good dude, or at the very best, he had some behavior that has led to a very precarious situation. The behavior is clearly, we know that reaching out has happened on direct message to people that he didn't know. We know all that stuff. That's happened. How far it went, you know, obviously it's going to be for a jury to decide civilly and potentially criminally. We'll find out how that goes. But it doesn't change the fact that you can separate that consideration from the fact that we still are a sports talk show and fans still want to know, hey, what is this team? Like, it doesn't stop the discussion of team building and trades and what happens to the Texans. They are intertwined. It just is a consideration to think, man, we are wildly, as a society, wildly inconsistent with how we view crimes by different people against different people. It's just wildly inconsistent, and it'd be nice to get some consistency, and especially for women who, you know, are just viewed as like just a number. Like, well, you know, like I said, I mean, I've been guilty of it in doing this show. Well, you know, if 22 women have, and if they settle with 18, I don't mean to minimize or trivialize what they went through, but it's the nature of talking about this because that's where we are. As we talk about Deshaun Watson is a trade commodity for a team building purpose, and guess what? Another team's fan base is not going to care about any of that stuff, and they will excuse it if they have a chance to benefit from the player.
Listen, remember when you talked about men in general that were generally bad? We're generally bad
people. We've got
people.
Some ugly sides.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
At least we're better than the people that had death threats for these women who were suing civilly, right?
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It's so unbelievable.
People who aren't even related to Deshaun have no skin in the game at all.
What about the death threats for Russell Westbrook because he can't shoot straight?
I mean, yeah. Steve Blake's family. He missed a shot, and Steve Blake's wife was threatened that people hoped the entire family died and her children died in a car crash. Like, what brings you to make these comments? This is why we've got to have stun guns. There has got to be a way that we can isolate people who do this on social media and have a public stun gunning of them.
That'd be nice. It used to be you get stoned. You know, people will throw rocks at you.
It's like a little much.
But
I think.
Put stun everybody, a bunch of people jabbing them with a stun gun is going to be better?
Let me ask you a question. We've gone too soft. Let me ask you this question. If people didn't act terrible to random people on a social media app where they can just be a random person, do you think the world would be a better place if other people didn't have to deal with nasty, random, anonymous people saying horrible things to try to make them sad or upset? Mm-hmm. You think the world would be better?
Yeah, the world would be much better.
If we had a deterrent like stun gunning or tasering like that, you know, not enough to you might pee your pants or whatever, but I wouldn't want that to happen to me. I wouldn't want somebody to come like Terry Tate, office linebacker, to come and punch me as hard as he could in the chest.
If somebody would come
and punch you in the chest,
take you out, tackle you, you're just walking down the hall,
I'd be like, man, I'm not doing that.
No more.
I'm gonna stop these Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
If there was, I still think you make somebody pay a fee to be on Twitter. I mean, you want to be a troll so bad that you're going to pay $10 a month for every account you create? Go ahead. That'll end it real. That'll end it real quick.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm a little sensitive today because I had to deal with Mock Draft 2.0 coming out yesterday.
Yeah, and so, all the haters about the fast track.
And I'm not really dealing with that. I think
But you
had one Brian Bouillon or whatever, one of our listeners, like, no, you have to do. If you think everyone's 4-2 and 4-3, that's cool. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
But no, everyone else knows the deal. So I really didn't have to deal with any haters on that. The haters I dealt with is Mock Draft, and it's all Giants fans. Now, some people just immediately just print somebody throwing something in a trash can. You know, it's just like there's no comment. It's just a trash bag being thrown in a big. And I respect that that's just become a thing. But don't think that I'm not going to clap back. And like trolls who think that they can get at me, I start to intentionally mess with trolls and they don't like it.
What is it on? I got to see all the comments. It's on your Twitter feed.
Yeah, I'll try to. You know what? I'll bring
it. Is it NFL.com?
No, that's not the one. I'll bring it up for you and I'll show you.
I got
to
have it.
I'll show you. Yeah, no, you 100% need to.
Oh, yeah.
Need to see
NFL draft at NFL draft. It's got to be there.
That was one of them.
All right, I gotta see it. It's my favorite day of the year.
That was one
when
of them.
All the comments for your mock draft come out.
I'll show you. We got into some pretty good ones. By the way, did you see that Zach Greinke apparently told somebody that he liked the team Houston, but the whole city was crap. He thought it was an awful city or something like that.
Zach Greinke said that about our city.
Does it shock you?
No. I mean,
I knew a real estate agent.
I heard Travis Rogers say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, he's the Orange County guy. Man. But I knew here it is. Possibly one of the stupidest trades imaginable, Lance Erline. What possible benefit? So this one guy named Pesky Dreamer. Yeah, who's no picture of himself or his actual name.
Mm.
He's got something to say, so I let him have it with several dab emojis. And dab videos.
You dabbed on him?
Yeah, I let him have it.
Oh.
Went full dab, and he was not very happy with it. But, Zach Greinke, so I know a real estate agent who said she wouldn't deal with Zach anymore because he was too, because he accused her of, he accused her of trying to show him the most expensive houses so,
well, where, so she where did could he get want, the where highest did he want commission. To live?
Like somewhere nice, a nice neighborhood? Uh-huh. And she does this with a ton of Astros, with new trades who come in. And minor leaguers who come in, and she says, where do you want to live? What do you want? I want schools. I want to live here. I want to live where the action is. I'm young. I want to, okay, here's Midtown. Here's this town. Here's Pearland if you want. Here's Cinco Ranch, depending on what you want. And she's like, no, I'm just showing you houses. I'm not trying to screw you. You're just trying to screw me out of money. Like, no, I swear I'm not. And she apparently is like, I'm not dealing with him anymore. We're not doing this anymore. Yeah, Zach is Matt Money Smith. You know what Money told me when he was.
By
the
way,
Dodgers,
Matt Money Smith, for those who don't know, he's the Chargers play-by-play guy.
Yeah, who's been on radio 26 years in L.A. Him and Petros. So it's Petros and Money Show. They are the institution in Los Angeles. Matt doesn't really put up with a lot of stuff, and so Zach Greinke, they were interviewing him at a charity golf event. He came over, and he was just, you know, giving him Zach Greinke answers. Mm-hmm. And here's what happened. Money goes like this. He goes, you don't want to really be here. Do you want to do this? He goes, not really. He goes, we don't either. You can go. You don't have to stay here. You sure? He goes, would you like to get out of here? Yep. We'd like for you to get out of here. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And that's how it went. Money basically said, I don't. If you don't want to do this,
you know what?
We
I don't want to have a guest on that doesn't want to be here either.
He said, we definitely don't want to do this. So he just told, I said, you did that on the air. He goes, oh, yeah, it was obvious. He said, we spent 2.5 minutes with him. He wasn't giving any answers. So we just said, I said on the air, I just said, you want to be here? No, we don't want you to be here either. Bye. Bye. And he said, it was over like that.
Good.
I said, did you take
any
crap
for the
team?
You know what, Zach Greinke, I thought was just a Houston legend just for his quirkiness and his wonderfulness, you know, on the field and what he did in Game 7 and that AJ ruined. Now, Zach Greinke, you've ruined Zach Greinke for me forever. Wait, I mean, he doesn't like our city? F Zach Greinke.
You thought that Zach
Screw was... Zach Greinke. We don't need Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke isn't here.
No, Zach Greinke's not here, but I thought he would be like Charlie Morton, that we would have a wonderful esteem for him in years, you know, years gone by, as they go by. Oh, remember Zach Greinke? He was so quirky. We loved Zach Greinke. Not anymore. Screw Zach Greinke. You know what? You don't want to be here? We don't want you here.
That's
Beat
how
it.
I feel about players who leave. I got love for Charlie Morton. I'm fine with George Springer. But when
no,
you're
but
gone,
guys who say they still love their time here and they love the city, that's
Zach,
fine.
Zach didn't say that.
No, Zach didn't say that. That's why beat it. Screw Zach Greinke.
Zach didn't say, yeah, I don't care about Zach Greinke.
No.
With his 55-mile-an-hour curveball.
I got a Zach Greinke jersey.
That's your fault.
You know what? I'm going to burn
That's
it.
That's your problem.
I'm going to burn it now.
Do it.
They gave it out one game.
My friend Zach, who's an agent, I got him a Zach Greinke bobblehead. The Astros hooked me up with that so I could send it to him. He's a scout for an AFC team. He loves Zach Greinke so much for the very reason that he likes it. Zach Greinke is that train wreck personality-wise. Do you know he has a folder on his phone, and it just says Zach Greinke? Inside this folder, he has subfolders. I swear on my children. Inside the folder, he's got interviews from Zach Greinke when he's with a team. He talked about Arizona's great sunsets or whatever when he first signed there. So he's got awkward interviews with Zach Greinke. He's got introductory press conferences. He has tweets that people have sent. He like screen caps them and saves them. One of them was from somebody in Houston, the groundskeeper. Zach's just hanging out on the grass on an off day, just sitting out there laying in the grass at.
Well, then remember when they were fixing the mound and Zach Greinke was sitting on the grass?
Yeah. Same kind of deal, only he was in the outfield. Zach Greinke, my buddy Zach, loves Zach Greinke so much and what a train wreck and how cringeworthy he is. He's got an entire Zach Greinke folder.
Well, guess what? No, screw Zach Greinke. He doesn't like Houston? Beat it.
It made him like Zach Greinke.
We don't need you here.
When he heard that, it made him like Zach Greinke more.
Hey, March is here, and the madness has officially begun. It's time for you to shoot your shot. Score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. Predict winners in each round of the MyBookie Bracket Contest for a chance to win a Bitcoin, a Doodle NFT currently valued over $50,000, and over $100,000 more in cash prizes. Listen, sign up today with MyBookie. Use promo code BET975 to make your first deposit, earning a free entry into the My Bracket Contest. Whether you're filling out brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Selections for the bracket will officially begin on March 13th and close March 17th at 12 p.m. So make your deposit now at MyBookie, promo code BET975 to secure that free entry. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.